Dr. Culpepper last night, a masterful preacher, communicator. I'm the opposite. I'm just a mess. I'm trying to figure my sermon out while I'm preaching it. And I'm going to get to a point probably tonight, tomorrow night, or Thursday night, you're going to say, he's still working it out. But you bear with me. I believe that God is raising up a remnant. You got to pay attention now who's moving away from you and who's moving into you. And as pastors, we've seen both of those things happen. People move away from us and people come to us. God is positioning us so that we will be a Pentecostal epicenter. And I just believe that these things are happening. And when we come together, it is to change the culture and the climate. But he said last night he wasn't a long-winded preacher, and he told me I could take the time he didn't use tonight and the next couple nights. But really, I'm going to try to preach for a moment. And I say a moment, I don't mean a moment. I mean when I sense the moment is there where God wants us, whether it's 15 minutes in or maybe who knows. When I sense that moment, that opening, I promise you, I'm not narcissistic and think I got to preach all my notes. I want God to move. That's all that matters, that God moves. So out of Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 8, thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. Eye to eye. When the Lord shall bring again Zion. Tell your neighbor, it's time to see eye to eye. You may be seated. I want to talk to you tonight. Really, you'll hear me use this word, this verbiage, terminology quite frequently, especially tonight, as I picture frame, if I might, the word glory. It's hard for me, with my limited understanding of things, to be able to adequately describe the glory of God. The glory of God is something that is ethereal, which means it's unearthly. There is nothing on this earth that you can point to and say that's the glory. Man cannot concoct it. Man cannot manufacture it. There's nothing that we can do in the natural that is even going to even remotely resemble the glory of God. There are many things that we talk about in our preaching, our teaching. We talk about as we describe our faith walk that create and conjure an image in our mind. For example, if someone were to tell you to grab your Bible, you're going to grab either the golden page book or you're going to grab your phone, but we understand what the Bible is. If we ask you to gather in the altar, you know where that is. If we were to talk about the cross, you're going to get imagery in your mind. But when it comes to the glory of God, it is not something that you can put into words. It is something that, while it may be seen, it is more of a sensed thing than it is a seen thing. Because the glory of God can come into a room and you may not see it, but you're aware that the atmosphere has radically changed. And while it is something that you cannot touch, you can feel it. Because when the glory of God comes into a place, you know that something has changed. So in order for us to get maybe a better understanding of the glory of God, I want to look at some of the verbiage, some of the words. First of all, let's look at the word doxa. Doxa, really, in its simplest form, means weighty words or weighty opinion or lofty expression. You add doxa to logos, you get doxologos or doxology, which means to speak favorably of. And you're familiar with the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, your heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We don't understand this. I mean, when you come to church and there is no noise ever to be made, You fail to adequately understand that it takes a noise to create a welcome atmosphere. You can walk into a room where an argument has taken place and you were not there to hear the argument, but you can sense some hostility. You can walk into a room when positive words, right, have been spoken and the atmosphere is light. So when we come to church, we cannot come in and say, well, I'm going to sit this one out, or I'm going to take a service off, because with our glory words, I exchange glory words for a weight of His glory. I have to give up something to get something. The sound creates an atmosphere. Oh yes. You will hear the train before you see the train. You will hear the airplane before you see the airplane. So the sound means that something is coming. There was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Then there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. So you have a sound with a sign. And a lot of times we are waiting on the sign when we've never made the sound. Let me teach you something. This is not praise and worship. That may be agreement, but that is not praise and worship. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the house of Israel say, I will say of the Lord, He is my God and my fortress. In Him will I trust. It is the sacrifice of praise. Let me tell you something. On my first night, and I hope I don't irritate you too early, trying to save that for another service, but let me go ahead and tell you that you cannot come into the house of God and say, why isn't He moving here and He is moving over there, when you have not created an atmosphere that would draw in the presence of Almighty God. You say, well, I just don't feel like it. Nowhere in the Bible am I told to praise God when I feel like it. Let me tell you how we are when we come to church. If we like the performance, we'll throw out an amen. We'll get involved a little bit. But if He's not doing it for us, if you don't like His style or His mannerism or His approach, we have a tendency to dial back our praise and our worship. But my praise and worship has nothing to do with the style of music. It has nothing to do with the personality on the platform. God is worthy of my worship, regardless of what kind of day or week or month or year that I have had. Somebody shout, I hear you. It is the sacrifice of praise. So what the enemy will do, he will try to overrun us with problems, with adversity, so that we will come into a service like this and we won't utter a sound, and we come in and we leave in the same condition because we did not attract the presence of God with our worship. I don't know about you, but when I walk into a room, if you don't acknowledge me, I am going to turn around and walk right back out. And God is no different. When He comes into the room, you've got to acknowledge the presence of God, and He will inhabit the praises of His people. Somebody shout amen. So the enemy tries to overwhelm us with problems, with adversity, with difficulty, to the point we sit the service out. We take it off. But it can be infectious. And because you're quiet, you get quiet. And when you get quiet, they get quiet. And before you know it, 2-3 hours have ticked off. And nothing tangible has happened. Because we did not, with our praise, create an atmosphere for the glory of God to dwell. Oh, yes. In the scripture, Job loses it all. And yet, he says, though the Lord slay me, I'm going to trust him. He said, I can't trace him, but I'm going to trust him. Come on, somebody. His wife changed her opinion. Just curse God and die. He said, you talk like an unconverted woman. He said, it looks bad from my point of view. He said, but guess what? He said, the Lord can give or the Lord can take away. But I'll bless. I will eulogize. I will speak well of God. Even when times are bad, God is still good. Can somebody shout, I hear you? Here is the problem. We do not understand that it takes something to get something. It's not that God prefers that person. God is no respecter of persons, but he is a respecter of principles. If you want what Abel got, do what Abel did. So watch this. You remember whenever Jesus comes into the home of Simon the leper, the first leper that Jesus heals. You would think if Jesus gave you your life back, if he healed you, delivered you, set you free, you would think when Jesus showed up to your house, you would bring out all manner of hospitality and generosity, and you would lavish him, and you would adore him, and you would celebrate him. But Jesus shows up. And they treat Jesus like one of the fellows. They stop honoring him. But there is a woman in the room that takes an alabaster box. That's her life savings. That's her diary. That's her hope chest. And she breaks it and pours it out. I didn't say she poured it. She broke it and then empties it out. You say it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. We've got too many people that they only want to pour out. They want to control how much praise God gets, how much glory they offer to him. But when you are broken, you cannot control how many amens come out your mouth. All you people that you go to church at 11 o'clock sharp and you leave 12 o'clock dull and your preacher has to act like a cheerleader, raise your hand here, say amen here, and you talk about, I'll clap but I won't jump, I'll jump but I won't dance. Let me tell you what your problem is. You've never been broken. If you've ever found yourself broken, you won't say, I'll give him that, but I'll withhold that. You will find out that when you go for broke, I hate to say this, but you see, in the Bible, loose hair was a sign of a loose woman. And she let her hair down and she washed his feet and dried his feet with her own hair and anointed his feet with oil. Some of you, your problem is your hair is too high. Huh? You're too worried about what somebody's going to say about you, what somebody thinks about you. Baby, I'm letting my hair down tonight and I'm going for broke. It doesn't matter if I get invited back. It doesn't matter if you like me on Facebook. I come to have an encounter with Almighty God. Somebody say yes. Ah, Lord. So watch what Jesus said. He said her story needs to be told throughout the world. He didn't say everybody needs to hear about the resurrection of Lazarus. He didn't say everybody needs to hear about the water turning into wine. He said, but everybody needs her story. I remember going to the Lord in prayer one time. I said, would you explain that to me? Give me a little insight. He said, I knew the day would come in which people would say, I can't stand up for 30 minutes for all that singing, but we'll stand up an hour at Outback. Hey, you like me now? Huh? He said, I knew there would be a day in which people would say, I can't sit through a 2-hour service, but we'll sit through a 3-hour movie. I want to ask you tonight, how bad do you want the glory of God? I will not offer to God that which costs me nothing. I will give Him my very best. I will praise the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Not my head, not my heart, but in my mouth. Tell your neighbor, you've got to open your mouth. You've got to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Somebody throw your hand up and shout yes. Oh, my. Another word is the kabod. It's the weight of God. I know we clap, we dance, we shake tambourines, we wave banners. Hey, go for it. But here's what I know. When the Lord comes into the room, there's a holy hush. Order in the court. There is a reverence that comes into the room. And you see it in Scripture at the dedication of Solomon's temple. The glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not stand to minister because the glory of the Lord filled the house. Ezekiel said it like this in chapter 1. I saw a whirlwind out of the north, a great cloud and a fire unfolding itself. There was a brightness about it, and it was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And he said, when I saw it, I fell on my face. Daniel chapter 10. He said, I saw him, and when I saw him, there remained no strength in me, neither was there any breath in me. Revelation chapter 1. John the Revelator said, I saw him, his head and his hair white like wool, his eyes like flames of fire, his feet like brass that burned in a furnace. He said, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You hear me tonight? It's going to take this kind of real, authentic power to change this world, because the fact is, they've got a lot of religion. One day they're a Zen master. Then they're into Scientology. Then they're into Wicca. Then they're into witchcraft. I mean, they're trying all of it. One day they're into Buddhism. The next day they're Muslims. And they're getting all the codes. And they're getting all the concepts. But they're missing the presence of Almighty God. One woman said, I don't get my son. He don't want to go to church no more. But I took him to Mass every Saturday. I said, there's your problem. You took him and set him among burning incense and lighted candles. And you set him amongst people that were moaning and chanting. But he never found the presence of God. But if the glory of the Lord ever comes into the house, I want to tell you that God will do a thing in our midst. Oh, somebody shout yes. I'm going to tell you right now, baby. All right? I'm tired of McChurch. I'm tired of church light. Tastes great, but less filling. I'm tired of form, but no force. I'm tired of all the pretense and the make-believe. I'm tired of all of that. We are living in a day in which if this thing gets changed, it's going to get changed by a church that is carrying the glory of God on it. The glory of God was never supposed to ride on the back of a wagon. Come on, user. God got off of it. Because a wagon is nothing more than big wheels and boards. Y'all miss me. You get it? Boards and big wheels? Okay. The glory of God. You got that one right. Now everybody's on the boards mad at me. The glory was supposed to rest on the men of God. We were supposed to carry it, to transfer the glory of God. It was supposed to be with us. Oh yes. Listen, saints, there is a canopy of darkness that's settling down over this nation. I want to tell you, if you think all that's happened in the last 2 years was just bad luck, a worldwide pandemic, economic collapse, political and racial tension and unrest, I want to tell you, I believe that the enemy thought he could construct the perfect storm and he could silence the church. But I want to tell you, the church is alive and well. Somebody say, I know that's right. These are turbulent times. Chaotic times. Used to be, y'all, come on now. Used to be, as a young boy, if I saw a group of men, I got nervous. Now, as a grown man, if I see a group of boys, I get nervous. Security cameras. Come on. You can look at what's going on at your house by your cell phone, because we don't trust nobody. So, come on, even your car manufacturer knows. Soon as you put your car in drive, your doors need to lock. Right? You don't want your kids out of your sight for a moment, because everything is crazy. I call this the bizarro world. Up is down. Down is up. Left is right. Right is left. Right is wrong. Come on. Wrong is right. Light is dark. Dark is light. Everything is crazy. This is a crazy world, and the inmates are running the asylum. Oh, help me, Lord. And I believe that every one of us ought to do our homework, and we need to vote. We need to do all of that. That's just good common sense. But let me tell you, if you think that what we're seeing go on in this nation right now can be fixed simply by going into an election booth, I want to tell you there's something else going on. Oh Lord, there's a demonic resistance that's going on in this nation right now. Can somebody say, I hear you? We are seeing the symptoms of Judges and Ruth being carried out again. In the last book of Judges, every man did what was right in his own eyes. In the first verse of Ruth, there was a famine in the land. I'm telling you, Church of God, that when the wicked bear rule, people mourn. But when the righteous are in authority, people rejoice. What God is waiting for is the church to stand up, speak up, be seen, and be heard. Oh Lord Jesus, I'm going to tell you, it's not going to be fixed in Washington. They can't fix this. Who's going to fix it? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. If you want to call me a troublemaker, go ahead. If you want to say I'm a rebel rouser, go ahead. Jimmy Crack Corn, I don't care. I'm not interested. Let me tell you something. I don't audition for visitors at my church. I said I don't audition for visitors. I don't modify my message. I don't dial it down. I don't shorten my sermon. Anybody love me? By faith. Huh? Because I have found out you can get a building full of people, but if you are void of the presence of God, then everything that we have done means absolutely nothing. And we have a lot of things that we use to enhance our worship experience. But sometimes it appears to me like we're just going through the motion. But if we will be sincere with our worship, that God will come into the room. And I appreciate laws and legislation. But let me tell you something, saints of God. It's legislators and lawmakers and adjudicators that help get us in this mess. Everything that the Bible told us was right, they have told us Jesus was outdated and it was antiquated. It had served its purpose. And now we have matured and grown and developed as a country. And we don't need for men and women to marry. We can open it up to men marrying men and women marrying women. And help me, somebody. So what it's going to take is more than legislation. Because we got laws against murder, but they're murdering anyway. We got laws against robbery, but they're robbing anyway. But here's what I know. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. When the glory comes, the liar will quit lying. The drunkard will quit drinking. The fornicator will quit fornicating. God will arise and his enemies will be scattered. Hallelujah. So let me tell you this, something for you to think on regarding the glory of God. There's always going to be a resistance, opposition, okay? Something that wants to extinguish it, to deplete it. Every power must be supported. If you don't support it, the enemy will take it out. If you don't value it, appreciate it, the enemy will take it out. Every power has a source. I'll talk about it tomorrow night. A place of emanation. A place of origination. Every power must be maintained. It must be preserved. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. Okay? So watch this. Watch this. It is possible for us to have a generation of churchgoers that think that it was a good service because they got a free cup of coffee. You're waiting on me, aren't you? Because I got a bagel and a muffin. And now we are in a bidding war to outbid the church down the road. So we've got to one-up them. And we're all into marketing. Oh, Holy Ghost. We're all into marketing. And we got to have a label. And we got to have an identity. Okay? And we've got to be modern. We've got to be sophisticated. I'm sorry to say this. They told us that we need to engage the community. And God knows, you know, I'm all about outreach. But they told us that we need to do this next campaign. Okay, so we spent $5,000 and we had nice literature. We went door to door. Okay, and y'all remember it? We walked, we sweated, we got chased by dogs, we almost got run down in the streets. I mean, praising place with, I mean, we canvassed the area. And on that particular Sunday, we had one person show up. One. And I asked them in the little flyer to bring the card so we could identify them. And she brought it in and I was there to welcome her. I said, you're the only one that showed up. Yeah. I said, it only cost us $5,000 to get you here. She didn't come back. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. I thought it was a compliment. Little boy, we're going the extra mile to try to get you here. But wonder what would have happened, pastors, if we spent more time trying to engage the presence of God and let God show up in somebody's dreams. Let people drive off the highway into your parking lot saying, I don't know why I turned up in here, but something brought me in here. Oh, my. Or I have been sitting in this parking lot for 2 hours waiting on you to open up because I just couldn't leave here. Wonder what would happen if we would spend more effort trying to attract the presence and the glory of God. It's got to be transferred. I pastor five generations, okay? Let me give you the time frame. The builders. We've got a few of them. Those born between 1927 and 1945. 65% of those folks were evangelical Christians. My generation, the boomers. Born between 1946 and 1964. And just FYI, I'm on the latter side of that. It drops down from 65% to 35%. The busters, Generation X, drops from 35 to 16. Generation Y, the millennials, it drops from 16% to 4%. Generation Z, Generation Text, digital natives, to be determined. It can't get much worse than 4%. Watch it. Watch. According to statistics, we have fewer from generation to generation, Pastor Ward, fewer believers and an increase in homosexuality. You don't see it, do you? When you start taking God out, you have created a void that the enemy is all too willing to fill. So you lose the fatherhood, then you lose the brotherhood, then you lose the neighborhood. Watch out, somebody. So what we must do is we must connect this next generation to the power of Pentecost as we know it. There must be, come on, help me. There must be a lad that says, Samson, you've still got something that will work. You just don't know where to put your hand. But I'm going to show you where to put your hand. Oh, Lord. And if you will listen to me, I can show you how to bring the house down. There's got to be an Elizabeth and Mary. There's got to be a generation that says, I am great. But guess what? There is coming one after me, mightier than I. There has to be an Elisha that will come and follow an Elijah that will start his ministry where Elijah stopped his. Do you believe we can transfer it to the next generation? So, watch this. The kabod of God, the weight of God. How do we determine the weight? You determine the weight of a thing by how tight the molecules are. One gold brick will weigh more than a truckload of feathers. You catch me? You can take water and you can put it on the stove. Once the heat starts activating and it separates, it becomes steam and it becomes lightweight and it evaporates. When it recollects, it comes down again. We have become lightweights in the church. Because we have pulled apartheid. It's my camp against that camp. It's my church against that church. It's my ministry. Wait a minute. Your ministry? You don't have a ministry. Paul said, God counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. It's not about me. It is all about Him. So we know that God is everywhere. There is no place that God is not. But there is the concentrated presence of God. Adam and Eve left the garden. Said they left the presence of the Lord. How? How? Because God is everywhere. They left the concentrated presence. Jonah thought he was getting away from God. He left the concentrated place. There are certain places, watch me, that have a concentration of the presence of God. And you know it because the Bible said, if you just get there, Solomon's temple, there will be so much glory in that place until if you're sick, just getting there will cause you to get healed. If your enemies are defeating you, if you can just get there. That was the law of central sanctuary. Certain times a year, you were commanded by God to leave your house. Where y'all at? And come into the gathering place so that we could attract the glory of God. Here's what happened. They started abandoning the central sanctuary. And they made groves or high places. It was individualized religion. If you wanted multiple wives, you started your own religion. If you wanted to drink, you started your own religion. What a godly king would do was pull down the high place and say, you can't duplicate this anywhere else. You can't duplicate this anywhere else unless you bring your glory. You bring your glory. I bring what glory he's put on my life. And we attract the presence of God. You know the Ark of the Covenant was that place where the glory of the Lord rested. It was made to resemble or reflect what was in the heavenlies. Right? The natural explained the spiritual. The visible explained the invisible. God showed you things you didn't know by describing things that you did know. So it's the like unto principle. The kingdom of heaven is like unto. It's not that, but it's like unto that. So what God did with the construction of the Ohel Moed, the tabernacle, the meeting place. The meeting place. I will assemble with you there. And then he had the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible said that the cherubim were face to face. It was there that the glory of the Lord did dwell. Because they were eye to eye. The difference between kabod, can I get down here and preach? Thank you. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. Come on now. The difference between kabod and ichabod is I. We've got too many I have to sing. I have to be the guest. I have to be recognized. You're trying to decide if you love me or not, aren't you? I. When we are fixated with I, we lose the glory of God. Huh. I want this. I want that. Huh. Have you noticed that our approach to evangelism sounds much like a used car salesman? Huh. What's it going to take to get you in the kingdom today? What if I tell you, you can cuss, just don't take the name of the Lord in vain? What if I tell you, you can fornicate, just don't do it on Sunday? What if I tell you, you can drink, just don't get drunk? See? You don't have to pay 10%. You can get by with 5. Who'll give me 4? Can give 3. 2. Give me 2. And everything is being catered to the crowd instead of the cloud. And we're doing everything for them. Watch me. We put our greeters out in the front. We put them out when it's cold. We put them out when it's hot. We have them in the parking lot. They got umbrellas so you don't get wet. They drown, but you don't get wet. Okay? Hope you enjoy your service today. On the way out, I hope you enjoyed the service. You know what I told them a few weeks ago? We're not doing this for you anymore. We're not doing this for you anymore. Because the fact is, some of y'all don't need to be enjoying service. Come on. Ain't tithed in 6 months. Come on. Causing division and chaos. But yet we will cater to you to make sure we don't say hell. We don't call it sin anymore. We alter and we mutter and we got the crowd, but we have lost the cloud. Oh Lord, it is not about you. It is all about Him. Lord. Sister Linda, I'm going to preach the praising place. Sister Linda used to sing that song, long, long, long as I got King Jesus, don't need nobody else. Now we leave Jesus outside and we want to have everybody else except him. And he is outside of his own church saying, I stand at the door and knock. He said, I see what you got going on. You got a lot of social events and activities. You've got a lot of theatrics. He said, but people are not getting saved. They're not getting healed anymore because you've locked me out of my own church. I've seen the church split over stupid stuff. Can you say stupid here? Stupid stuff. I'm almost done. Okay? Okay. You just give me the high sign, brother. I'll tell him to hit that organ. We'll rock it on out of here. I've seen the church split. I've seen them split. Now listen, I'm King James. I dream in King James. I can talk King James. How art thou, beloved? But I have seen people get mad because you read another version. And I say, be glad they want to pick up a Bible. Okay? You want a 6-year-old to read King James. Come on. I'm saying be glad they show an interest. I've seen churches split over whether you say Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. You're smarter than I am. Same thing, right? Same thing. Okay? I've seen them split over where you got to be baptized in water. Well, I'm holier because I broke through the ice to get baptized. You took the coward's way out. You went into a heated baptistry. You can't be as holy as I am. What? I've seen them split over, watch me, over whether you got to wear a tie or not. Huh? I've seen them split over style of music. You got that Southern gospel high place. You got that contemporary high place. You got the hymn high place. Long you singing hymns, I'm with you. But if you go to contemporary, I don't want to hear that stuff. Come on. Keep smiling, will you? Let me tell you something about music. Music is a preference. Music is a preference. Music really is nebulous. It doesn't have an identity. Okay? I can take a guitar and I can go to the club, juke joint. That's what we call it down south. Used to anyway. Okay? You learned something, didn't you? Or I can magnify the Lord and exalt his name. I can take money. And I can do some bad things or I can do some good things. The hand determines the usage. And we've got folks in church that if they don't get their preference, I'm not going to worship. Well, who are you worshiping? The group? Are you worshiping the group? Are you worshiping the musician? Or are you worshiping him? Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been to some places, y'all. On 3 TV stations, they see I like my accompaniment when I preach. And I've gone to places these guys didn't get a chance to go. And I went one time and the guy said, hey, I got somebody that's going to accompany you while you're preaching. Is that all right? I said, sure, bring it on. I'm standing up in the middle of the message. And all of a sudden I heard clink, 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 clink. Guy stood up behind me with a cowbell. I said, a cowbell. I thought I was having a heart attack. It scared me, and he just wagga, 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 wagga. He just, okay? I went to one church where they played spoons. I said, spoons. I have a whole nother use for spoons besides playing music. I make a whole nother kind of music with my spoons, y'all. Okay? And I'm sitting there and I said, you know what? That ain't my thing. Because I have never downloaded cowbell music or spoon music. I don't have CDs, DVDs, none of it. No, okay? But guess what? If you stand up here tomorrow night and go to clanging the cowbell, I'm going to sit Bishop in that seat and fan him for a minute, but I'm going to try to get with you, because if we can't agree over the style of music, if we can't agree over the attire, can we not agree over the one thing that we all have in common, and that is Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and the fairest of 10,000 to our soul. Wait a minute, I'm almost done. I got an agitating anointing on me tonight. I've seen them divide over race. The church is the most segregated place in the nation on Sunday. White folk go to white churches. Non-white folk go to non-white churches. Does the signal work at that door? I'm going to stand at the door and finish this sermon. That is the most ridiculous thing I have ever thought of in my life. Did you not know that my blood, if the type is right, will work in your body and your blood will work in my body? Huh? I promise you that if you are in an automobile accident on the way home and they rush you down here to the hospital, you're not going to say, give me a white man's blood. You are not. You're going to say, give me the first that you got available. Right? But yet we will say that we serve the same God, but we won't worship in the same atmosphere. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, before they ever get healed, we got to get healed in the church. Oh, help me, Lord Jesus. Every one of us can go back to the origin of when Adam looked at Eve and said what I said when I saw Janice. Whoa, man. Okay? From one blood came all nations. There are no longer any white-only bus lines, white-only water fountains, but there are white-only churches. Help me, Holy Ghost. But yet, we want to invite John 3:16 Savior into our building, but yet tell people that look different than us that they need to go down the street. The devil is a liar. Yeah, maybe I got an attitude on me tonight, but I believe in a Joseph anointing, a coat of many colors. Whosoever will, let him come. I don't care what you look like when you come. I care what you look like when you leave. Somebody shout yes. So let me illustrate this, and then we're going to see what God will do in this altar. Okay? So I had to find out Newton's law of gravitational pull. Newton's law of gravitational pull says that when two bodies get close together, they increase their magnetic, the gravitational pull. As long as they are apart, they cannot function and draw in or attract something. So I had to really break this down, because I didn't do great in math, especially when they started putting letters where numbers go. Huh? That messed me up. And then they said pi r square. I said, everybody know pi r round. But he says the closer we get, the greater our magnetic pull. Which means if we're going to bring God into our church, you can't be over there doing your thing. And you can't be over there doing your thing. And you can't be over here with your group. And you can't be over there with your clique. And it can't be that church against that church and that preacher against that preacher. We're going to have to get together. So I want to, Pastor Walt, would you help me?
Sure.
So here's what God is trying to get us to do. We have been apartheid. So what God is trying to get us to do is come together. So one can chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 before him. Come on. I'm trying to find people that make me look good. So now we have a greater magnetic pull. Matthew, come here. Kelvin, Chris, come here. Come here. Van, come on. I won't leave you out. Come on. All right?
All right.
But since this is not the good old boys club, come on. Come on. Come on, Sister Sonia. Come on. I'm going to call you right out. Come on. Come on. Come on, Deborah Trees. Come on, Sash. Come on. Come on. Every person. Are you seeing it? Every person that gets together, we have greater drawing power, greater magnetic pull. This is what God wants for my region, my state, but He wants it for you too, so that we can attract the presence and the glory of God in this room. Would you stand up right now and would you throw your hands up high over your head and say, God, please forgive us for thinking we didn't need anybody. We couldn't use any help. I need you. We need one another. Yeah. Would you just lift those hands up right now in this room? Hallelujah. 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 Yeah. I know it might be a little unusual right now, but I wonder, is there anybody else that says, I want to hook up with y'all? I don't want to be on the outside looking in. Can we find some more people that will come up here and say, we may not know each other, but we got the same goal. We've got the same mindset. We're after the same thing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my God, my God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I dare you to start worshiping Him right now. I dare you to start worshiping Him right now. Yeah. Begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah! Hey, yeah. Kabobo shandere de bakondore amanda ya kataraya. Sulabaranda robaka. Look what's happening around the walls, Bishop. Look what's happening around the walls. We're coming together. We're coming together. Enough of this division. Enough of divisive attitudes. We're trying to draw God into the room. We're trying to draw God into the region. I feel something moving. Yeah. Now lift those hands up. Lift those hands up. Lift those hands up. Lift those hands up as a sign of unity, as a sign of togetherness. In the name of the Lord. Draw it in. Draw it in. Draw it in. Draw it in. He won't resist it. He won't resist it. He won't refuse it. Draw it in. Draw it in, brother. Draw it in, sister. Draw it in right now.